You're listening to Vatican Radio. Pluralism in Peril is the title of a recent report from the UK-based rights group Christian Solidarity Worldwide, documenting the rise of religious intolerance in Indonesia. Issued ahead of both parliamentary and presidential elections in the archipelago later this year, the report shows attacks and discrimination against all religious minorities are on the rise. It also claims the government of Indonesia is increasingly complicit in supporting such discrimination and failing to bring to justice the perpetrators of acts of violence or attacks on places of worship.
And the vice president's own senior advisor is quoted in the report, recognising these issues and saying that the government does need to do something.
Ben Rogers is in charge of the East Asia region for Christian Solidarity Worldwide and the main author of Pluralism in Peril, published earlier this month. He talked to me about the findings of the report and the issues at stake as Indonesians prepare to vote for their new leaders.
Well, the central argument of the report is that Indonesia, as the world's largest Muslim majority nation and the fourth largest nation in the world, actually has a tremendous tradition of religious pluralism, religious freedom. Its founding principles are the Pancasila, which enshrine equal respect for the six recognized religions. However, these values of Indonesia are coming under increasing threat from the rise of radical extremist Islam, and it's affecting everybody. My main conclusion of the report is that it's become a nationwide phenomenon. It's no longer confined to particular areas, and it is affecting all communities, Christians, the Ahmadiyya community, the Shia community. When we launched the report, we brought an interfaith delegation to speak about these issues in London and Brussels. The last point about the report is that the government of Indonesia, regrettably, is complicit with these issues. I had thought previously that they were, that the strongest criticism one could make is that they were just weak in tackling the issue. But actually, when you look at the rhetoric that's come from some government ministers, a speech that the president of Indonesia made way back in 2005, where he essentially gave the Council of Indonesian Ulama, the main body of clerics, a green light to publish fatwas, religious edicts, and that the government would follow up on those fatwas. That led to restrictions on the Ahmadiyya community, legislation that restricts the building of churches. So the government has proactively taken steps that have fueled intolerance. And I think it's a big concern, given its tradition of pluralism. That's why we called it Indonesia Pluralism in Peril.
Has the government responded to your allegations, to your charges?
Yes. The only public response that I've seen was in the European Parliament when we launched the report. The Indonesian ambassador to the EU was invited to come and respond. Sadly, he took a very combative approach and didn't acknowledge the problem and basically critiqued the report. I have had discussions with other Indonesian officials, including the ambassador in London, who took a much more constructive approach in recognising the problem and actually sharing the concerns. And the vice president's own senior advisor is quoted in the report, recognising these issues and saying that the government does need to do something. There is a glimmer of hope, because this year is both parliamentary and presidential election year in Indonesia. The current president will not be standing again, so he will leave office and there will be a new president. And that's why we published the report this year, because hopefully with a change of government, there'll be more effort to tackle the issue.
Christians, as you said at the beginning, are a very tiny minority in an overwhelmingly Muslim nation. What kind of role can the church there play?
Well, I think, again, speaking out for together with people of other faiths for Indonesia's values of pluralism, pointing to all the good things about Indonesia, its remarkable transition from dictatorship to democracy, but raising a voice to say that these things are under threat, and if action is not taken, these achievements of Indonesia could be lost. So I think promoting interreligious dialogue, promoting initiatives that counter extremism and hatred and actually promote the values on which Indonesia was based, that's a role that the church can certainly play.
Have you seen any interesting initiatives, as you say, along the lines of promoting dialogue and cooperation between people of different faiths?
Yes, yeah, definitely. And one of the members of the delegation that we brought to Europe last month was from the Abdurrahman Wahid Centre for Interfaith Dialogue, and also from the Wahid Institute, both organisations founded by the former president, Abdurrahman Wahid, who was a great champion of interreligious dialogue and religious freedom. And there are a number of other initiatives. One of the things the government of Indonesia points to in its defence is the fact that there are lots of these kind of initiatives going on. That sadly doesn't negate the evidence of intolerance, and therefore there's a need to, I think there's a need to support these initiatives, but there's also a need to look again at how they're done and their effectiveness. One of the problems, I think, with interreligious dialogue is it often brings together like-minded people from different religions and doesn't actually tackle where the problem is, which is the extremists. So some kind of investment, particularly in the education sector, in countering extremist materials is definitely needed.
My thanks there to Ben Rogers, in charge of the East Asia region for the UK-based religious rights group Christian Solidarity Worldwide.